From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
I often say that birds taught me to garden because by choosing four-season plants to match their year-round needs, I ended up with a four-season garden for me to enjoy and live in, too. But if I'm asked how I learned about birds in the first place, I would give three answers. Number one, a copy of my trusty Peterson's Guide, no affront intended to David Sibley, but this was well before he started publishing his popular books in 2000. Number two, a pair of good binoculars. And number three, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Besides teaching me about birds themselves, the Lab of O taught me to become what's called a citizen scientist, to share what I observed for the greater good of birds. It encouraged me to count birds in various participatory projects like Feeder Watch. And no week goes by in the entire year here when I don't visit the lab online at least several times to answer something avian-focused. I've taken Lab of O distance learning courses and webinars online, too. The Lab of O is nearly 100 years old, founded in 1915, and in the digital era has just grown more and more spectacular. Today's guest, Maya Thompson, PhD, has a hand in that as e-learning specialist at the lab and project leader for its undertaking called All About Bird Biology. She's here to talk about a new section of that online resource called All About Bird Song, and apparently she brought along some friends. Maya, welcome. You brought along a lot of friends, it sounds like.
Yeah.
From up there at Sapsucker Woods in Ithaca, New York. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Good, good, good. So what were all those voices in that first clip up to?
Well, those voices were up before dawn in July in rural New York.
Oh.
And there are probably about a dozen voices participating in what we call a dawn chorus.
The dawn chorus. One of my favorite phrases, and yet one that a lot of people don't really know. They don't know that phrase.
Yeah, so we refer to a dawn chorus as the cacophony of birds that usually early in the morning, and especially during mating season, greets us as we wake up in the morning. And it's a common phenomenon across the world, but it's actually a bit of a scientific mystery.
So we don't really know what in the world all that's about, do we?
Well, we have a good guess. It's likely, because a lot of bird song is about males showing off, it's likely that it's mostly about the males reaffirming their territories at the start of each day. It's really beautiful, isn't it?
It is beautiful, and it's one of my favorite times of year for many reasons, being a gardener and so forth, but you said something funny to me. You said, you know, that they, I guess it greets us when we wake up. And I was like, no, it wakes us up. Because it's like 4:45 at my house is the dawn chorus.
Exactly. Well, the one we just heard is from 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And, you know, the dawn chorus that you hear in your childhood stays with you for the rest of your life. And that one, because it's from right where I grew up, is really like home to me.
Right. Right, that's one of the original forms of music that you're familiar with from your childhood. No, I know. It's very comforting, actually.
Yeah.
So let's backtrack a bit and give us a little bit of background of about the Lab of Ornithology and All About Birds, of which this new bird song project is part, and so forth.
Sure. So you mentioned a little bit that we were founded a long time ago in 1915. It was the first graduate course in ornithology founded by Arthur Allen. And then in 1945, a group of people got together and formed a bird sanctuary, and that's where our visitor center and offices live now. And the bird sanctuary was meant actually to save a population of yellow-bellied sapsuckers.
Oh, my.
But it attracts many birds throughout the year, and it's a wonderful place to visit. Now we're a science and outreach institution, part of Cornell University, and we have over 4,500 25,000 members, and our members, our membership relies on, we rely on them, and they rely on us to give them good information about birds and to keep figuring out from a scientific perspective what's going on and how we can keep track of them.
I had to laugh almost. I tried not to do it out loud just then when you said to save the yellow-bellied sapsuckers, because even though I love that bird, as a gardener, it's one of the most vexing birds to
right.
coexist with, because, boy, oh, boy, do they like to suck the sap.
Right.
And they've killed three very good old beautiful trees in my yard, and they want to go on to a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. And they also like the front of my house very much.
Exactly. Woodpeckers are very vexing to homeowners and to gardeners, but
right.
We love them.
Right. So so now, before we hear another note of song, I think we should explain, what does the word songbird mean? So what's a songbird?
Absolutely. Well, songbird isn't just not all birds are songbirds.
Right.
So it's a title reserved for a group of closely related species, including thrushes, warblers, and sparrows. And what sets them apart is they have a more complex two-sided voice box.
Two-sided. Uh-huh.
We have a single voice box, and they have a double.
Uh-huh.
And that helps them make much more interesting sounds than they otherwise could. And the other thing that sets them apart is that they learn, which helps them sing with more variety. So a cardinal is a songbird, a crow is not.
So you just said they learn to sing like we learn to speak, like they learn in their youth to sing?
Absolutely. So, for example, sparrows are famous in the bird world as song learners, and they listen to the neighborhood songs as nestlings. Well, they're still in the nest. They're listening. They don't sing yet. Then when they fledge and find a new habitat, they go through a babbling period like young children do, before settling on their adult song. And it's something that's quite remarkable. This is not a common phenomenon across the animal world, but it's fantastic that birds go through this. And we have a really wonderful example, a young white-throated sparrow.
Right, learning to sing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's play that one first. Think that's him, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you may not recognize it, but you'll sure recognize the difference with the adult. Basically, the young white-throated sparrow has kind of a tentative rhythm and a little bit of a squeaky voice and hasn't quite gotten the adult groove on yet.
So let's hear the adult groove, as you say. Yes, a little more polished, definitely.
Absolutely.
And I guess we should say, I just said he, naturally, because I'm assuming that we're talking about males learning from older males, yes?
That's right. So chances are when you hear a bird singing in this neck of the woods, it's a male. And it's more common for females to sing songs in tropical species, but everywhere, both males and females make calls to stay in touch and to alert others to danger. But these more complex and melodious songs are typically male, and they are doing it to show off and to attract mates.
So male versus female, both can vocalize, but more commonly in our temperate zones, it's the males. And then there are songs and calls, two different forms and purposes of vocalizations.
That's right. And,
yeah.
And calls, many people don't realize that the some of the common sounds you hear could actually be coming from the same bird. So sometimes they'll sing and sometimes they'll make calls. And together, the
right.
songs and the calls of the birds that you know, those are repertoires. And so it's really fun to start, as you start learning birds by ear, it's really fun to sort of open your ears and hear that the bird that you love actually has a whole bunch of different sounds that it makes.
I love in the regular All About Birds online, I think of it as kind of an encyclopedia, which is the sort of the digital resource that you are augmenting with things like All About Birdsong and these All About Bird Biology new dimensions. I love that when you go to a individual species, like let's say we looked at the white-throated sparrow entry, we learn its life history and when it nests and how many babies it has, eggs it lays, and how many clutches per year, and all these other things about it, what it eats, and its territory, and if it migrates. But we also see, like you said, we get some audio clips, and it's not just the one sound. So it's really important to kind of listen to the different ones. Otherwise, you know, it's hard to identify the birds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now we were kind of talking about when we began, you were talking about how, you know, you grew up near the dawn chorus, you know, the area where that dawn chorus was recorded. There's something else sort of about not just humans being familiar with localized bird song, but there's actually local dialects among some birds, yes?
That's right. And so even among members of the same species, they might sing slightly different songs. And this is just a natural occurrence, and it, especially when populations get isolated somehow. And so you can imagine it's just normal, just like human dialects, that you know, closely knit neighbors are starting to use similar words and to use similar phrases, and that sort of spins into its own dialect. The same with birds, and that's a natural outgrowth of the fact that they learn because they're listening to their neighborhood, and
right. That
is what, yeah. So it's a very interesting biological phenomenon. And so one of the things that that you can tune into, for example, is your black-capped chickadee might sound different from the one in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, we can listen to the black-capped chickadee from New York.
Okay, let's do that first.
So there's a Hey Sweetie song.
Hey Sweetie, he's saying?
Hey Sweetie, yeah.
Hey, sweetie, okay.
But if you go to a population in Martha's Vineyard, which is isolated somewhat because it's on an island, they sing something slightly different. They sing Sweetie Hey.
Sweetie Hey, so they kind of have it backwards in Massachusetts. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right. So,
well,
I
you know
go that far.
You know that Boston accent, right?
Exactly.
Oh, with birds too. That is just that's amazing. You know, of course, I hear chickadees all the time where I live in the Hudson Valley of New York. Berkshires of Massachusetts is right across the border. Now, I don't think the birds right across the border probably have this dialect, but as you say, across Massachusetts. And yet, if I went to Martha's Vineyard, I wouldn't have known that was a chickadee.
You might have not recognized that as a chickadee.
One of the most familiar bird songs in my area, of course.
Right.
So, kind of when you stop to listen and, you know, to bird song, the range and the mechanics of it, or maybe we should call it the acrobatics, I mean, the bird's voices really defy most creatures or maybe any other creature's vocal abilities, don't they?
That's right. So I really consider songbirds to be true vocal gymnasts. I mean, they really can do things that nobody else can. And the reason for that is they have this unique voice box, and it allows them to make sounds that other animals can't make, including us. So, for example, the northern cardinal, and if we listen to the northern cardinal in a minute, you'll hear some repetitive whoops at the end. And in those repetitive whoops, you'll recognize them. You're witnessing a sweep through more pitches than a piano in less than a tenth of a second. And this is actually an amazing feat. And the way they do it is they switch sides of their voice box.
Oh, you're kidding.
In the middle of the note.
Oh, you're
within
kidding.
Within that tenth of a second.
Oh, my goodness. So that's with this two-sided voice box thing in action. Okay, so let's hear the northern cardinal.
So, yeah, did you hear those?
I never knew that's what was going on.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Huh. Another example?
Yeah, so, and I think even more interesting example, although that one's quite incredible, is that some birds, some songbirds, are actually using both sides of their voice box at the same time. They're making two notes at the same time, something we can't even imagine doing.
Oh.
I mean, think about if opera singers could make could literally sing two notes at the same time. Well, that's what the wood thrush can do. So the wood thrush really kicks it up a notch, and they sing two notes at once, and they combine them in this final trill in their beautiful song.
Amazing. That's another familiar sound for me, of course, living in a surrounded by woods in a state forest sort of area. I hear
lucky.
Them all the time. Oh,
yeah. You're lucky.
Yeah, it's a crazy voice, a crazy voice. So there's someone else that we have a recording of that also can sing, or maybe, I'm not sure, is the Veery. I know you brought a Veery along to perform for us.
Right. And Veeries have one of the most musical songs of any songbirds, and it is one of my favorites. And they are just creating so many different musical tones as they go through their song. And what I really love is to let people listen to it at normal speed first.
Okay.
And then let's hear it slow, because it really will blow your mind.
Okay, so we'll hear it right in a row. Okay, good. So we're going to hear the slowed down. Huh. Wow.
It's like a flute.
Is that beautiful? Flute-like. Amazing,
yeah.
amazing. Wow. I mean, it does. And again, some of these are voices I know, and yet I've never really listened quite so carefully as with your helping me to tune in. So sort of speaking of that, kind of how can the new All About Bird Song help us with our skills at birding by ear? I mean, there's so much in this. Maybe you want to tell us a little bit about this new online resource.
Absolutely. So, you know, many of us, especially gardeners who spend a lot of time outside, they want to improve their ability to recognize birds by ear and just learn about this amazing phenomenon. I mean, it's truly incredible what birds can do, and there's kind of a deep connection, I think, when we listen to birds singing between us and the birds, and the appreciation of what they can do. So, I mean, one of the reasons why we developed All About Birdsong is to help people tune into that. You know, birds are singing to be heard, and what's going on there? So, what we've done is we've started off with some really spectacular up-close videos of your favorite songbirds. And they're singing, and you're seeing them sing, which is pretty rare. It's really hard to observe that. So you're seeing the beaks fly as they make these amazing vocal gymnastics. And kind of like lip reading when you see someone.
That's what I was thinking.
It really helped, for me at least, because it typically helps me to see. And I'm a visual learner, it really is helping me to remember these songs.
Right.
So that's one thing that I think really helps, is just to get a sense of what that vocal performance looks like. So as if you were watching, you know, somebody on, you know, a bird on stage really belting it out.
Right.
And then we've created a fun game. It's called Bird Song Hero. And bird
I failed. Yeah. I failed.
Well, you failed. Oh,
well,
yes.
Not, I got about a 50%.
50%. Oh, I don't consider that failing. So yeah. Basically, Birdsong Hero, it gets really tricky, especially in the second level. And basically, it's a game that forces you to listen really closely to a song. And then what you have are three choices of sound visualizations of different bird songs. And they're called spectrograms, and they're actually quite beautiful. I consider them art, pieces of art in and of themselves.
They are beautiful,
yeah.
Yes.
So you look at these visualizations, you listen closely, and you choose the one that you think is the match. And what I think really the power of the game is that it really does force you to sit and listen closely.
It's great. It's really great. Yeah. Visualizing sound.
That's right.
Yeah. So I want to make sure to give a nod to the vocalist of all vocalists, who in the Northeast for me is the Catbird, because boy, are they talkers.
That's
and
right.
They're mimics on top of that. And so we only have 2-3 minutes left, and I just want to make sure to get a little clip of one of my favorite voices from the garden, the Catbird, in first, and then talk a little more.
Go on and on, don't they?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they take things to a new level.
It's insane. They're just insane, and they really tell me what's what outside. They're, like, telling me what's what. They're
right.
Great.
And they're stealing other bird sounds.
Which is why they're mimics. They're,
that's right.
They're mimics. And they're is it in a family or an order? I can't remember whatever it is that of birds called mimics, I think.
Well, basically, mimicry has evolved multiple times, so it's not just restricted to one group of birds.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the mimicry evolved to expand repertoire, to really, really show off.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you can learn the songs of not just your neighborhood in your same species,
not
but
just
your
from your dad.
Across species, right?
Right. Not just from dad, but from everybody.
Including frogs sometimes.
And we're going to, speaking of that, and you mentioned that the All About Birds song online has this wonderful archive of videos, and one of the best ones of all, and the one I'm going to be sure to put on the blog and link to and all that kind of good stuff, is the Catbird mimicking other species of birds one after another. I mean, it's insane. It's completely insane. So just tell us, like, how we can find this last minute. Tell us how we can find it, how we can get to the lab, and what's coming up.
So allaboutbirds.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come visit us to find all about birdsong. You can come visit us. The easiest way is to go directly to birdbiology.org. And there we've actually organized things because we're focused on song right now. So all the things you can use to learn about song are right up front at the top. And, you know, like I mentioned, the lab is a membership organization, and only 1% of our funding comes from Cornell. So basically we rely on our members to keep us up and running.
Yes.
So come visit us, see what you can learn, let us know what you like, and since we are developing All About Bird Biology as a serial, basically one after the other of topics that we know people are interested in, we love to hear what people want to do next.
Well, it's an amazing resource, and as I said at the intro, it's taught me about the importance of being a more careful observer and sharing what I see. Thank you, Maya Thompson from Cornell Lab of Ornithology, for helping me to listen closer and learn to bird by ear. And I hope I'll talk to you again soon. We're going to hear a little more dawn chorus while we go toward the end of the show. You can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or, of course, at Facebook. Don't miss any episodes. You can subscribe on Stitcher or iTunes to the podcast, and I'll see you next week. Let's hear some more birds.
Away to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.